Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Amen.
How many of you wish I could preach like that? I wish I could preach like that. It's all right. My favorite line in that whole video is, I wish I could describe him to you. Didn't he do a fantastic job of putting into 3.5 minutes what Jesus really means for us? What he can mean for us when we walk with him, when we embrace him. You know, I'm just struck by this Easter story and this whole process of Christ's sacrifice and death and His resurrection. Obviously, that's going to be the focus of our day today as we consider all that He's done for us and all that He continues to do for us. But as I looked at the story over the last month, I was struck so many times by the parodies that I found. Just the amazing parodies between different elements of these stories. We have, on one Sunday, we have a triumphal entry. By the next week, we have a death sentence. You know, we have Christ experiencing deep friendships with one another, and then we have a betrayal, the ultimate death of a friendship, basically. We have great teaching of truth taking place in Jesus' ministry, and especially in this final week of His life, if you look over the Scriptures. But then we see this Master King, we see this Messiah silent before His accusers. We have amazing torture and death. We have amazing beating taking place in His life. And then we have new life and resurrection and wholeness. Again, I just see parodies everywhere that we see this amazing separation between these different events that take place. I was even reminded of that in our own life this week when I contemplated what was going on in your lives. Because within the last 10 days, you may or may not be aware, we've had 5 different families impacted by death. And it's got to be one of these moments where we just kind of stop and look and evaluate what's going on with life, right? But we have Rick Bresnow lost his father this past week. We Jordan Brooks lost his grandfather, and not too long after his own father passed away. Now the Coolidges had suffered loss when Linda's stepmother passed away. Charlie Malloy's mom passed away this week, and Kathy Luke's mother-in-law, John Luke's mother, passed away. And it was amazing to see. Some of those lives were long and well-lived. Some were cut short by our standards. And yet, death is death, and it's painful. But then the opposite side of that, we got to welcome in a new child into our church this week. Have you heard that Darletta had a baby boy this week? Isn't that exciting? So, yeah. It is so amazing how sometimes that happens. Where we experience death, we also get to experience life. And so Darletta and Clark are experiencing life with Christopher Owen this week. And we're excited for that new arrival because it reminds us of the power of new life. And it reminds us how God is really ultimately in control. On just kind of a side note, if you're interested in helping that family with meals this week or over the next few weeks, Michelle Cole will be helping coordinate some of that. So if you have the gift of cooking or takeout or pizza, it all works when you're hungry and you have a newborn screaming at you. So, see Michelle if you have any interest in getting on the calendar. She would be blessed by you doing that today. But this day and this whole idea of Jesus, really, we understand this great, amazing things of death, bringing life and friendship, and we see this betrayal. We see all of this stuff taking place. I was reminded of one of my favorite verses of Scripture. I'll put it on the screen for you. Philippians chapter 2, that really, to me, articulates why Christ came. Starting in verse 6, speaking of this Jesus, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place, and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a great few verses that articulates Christ's story and how He intersects with us, that He was God. He was the very nature of God. He was God's Son before He was born on this earth. He was a part of the process of calling out God's people even before He walked in human form. And God sent Him to this world. And we celebrate that at Christmas time, where God sent Him into this world as a sinless man, but still a man. He had a heart that beat. He had veins. He had hair. He had teeth. I personally believe His teeth were not in alignment correctly, and He could have used a good orthodontist. The Scriptures say He wasn't too much to look at, quite honestly, but that wasn't the point. The point was what Jesus had on the inside and what He was going to do for us, not on how pretty He looked on the outside. And so we have this God who becomes us. He becomes like His creation, and He walks with us. He teaches us. He loves on us. He's patient with us, and He's also very firm with us. You read Christ's words throughout the Gospels, and you see sometimes He's so frustrated that He's there. There's times where He says, "How much longer do I have to walk around with you people? You're not getting it." We have this great picture of this Christ all throughout the 3 years of His ministry. And this day really is about the culmination of that time together. And when I read Philippians again, and I think about the fact that every one of us at some point in our life will have to come to a place of intersecting with this Jesus, trying to figure out who He is in our life and what this means for me. The Scriptures say that at that name, by the name of Jesus, we will bow. Everybody in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue confess. Now, how I read these Scriptures are that if we confess that in this earthly form, if we make the confession here and now while we're alive, that confession will bring us into an eternity of life with this Christ. That God, His Father, and our Heavenly Father will allow us to come into eternity forever with Him if we confess while we live here on earth. But if we choose to make that confession later, because at some point we will make that confession, if we choose to make that confession later after we have died, there is a great risk that you run. The confession of Christ takes place now. The opportunity to understand that He's our King, that He is our God, is now. So we can look at Easter as a special time of the year, and we can wear peach-colored shirts and separate this day as something special, but quite frankly, Easter is every day. Because the confession of Christ should be every day. It's a special thing, not a heavy burden. It's a freeing experience to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and to live a life that looks like you believe it. You know, sometimes we sing songs, right? We sing the songs, singing the words. But what you look like doesn't buy into anything that you believe it. I mean, you could really convince us that you don't believe it sometimes. Now, not all of us like to sing, right? Sometimes we read words and we just kind of take it in, and maybe we're thinking while we're reading. I have that problem. I don't know what you call that. Someone needs to diagnose it. I can read chapters and not remember a word because I'm thinking while I'm reading. Do you ever do that? That's a problem. Okay, and we need to be people who are engaging and believing and acting like we believe that this Bible is real. We need to be people who understand that confession changes everything. It changes everything. But I also know this about mankind. I know this about myself. I know this about you because this is common to us. When we come to a place of confessing Christ, all of a sudden a couple of things can happen. We can be struck by the parody of fear and joy. Sometimes when we think about having to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, it brings great fear in our spirit and we're not sure what to do with that. It scares us. Well, why do we have to do that? Well, what if I miss out? What if I don't measure up? What if I'm not worthy? What if He didn't really mean for me? But then for others, confession in Christ brings great joy. because you see the love of God that's available to you. You experience the power of God when you confess resurrection and confess your allegiance to Christ. And it brings hope for a new life. So you can't really, in many ways, separate the two. Because where fear exists, sometimes it's the absence of joy. Sometimes where joy exists, it's maybe just the absence of fear. But both of these things kind of exist. You cannot really appreciate one without the other. And so the question is for us today, as we think about this resurrection story, and we think about Christ defeating death and coming out of His grave, when we think about the power that's there, the question I have for me and the question I have for you is, do you greet that news today with fear, or do you greet that news with joy and thanksgiving? Does it well something inside of you that's kind of full of gratitude and thank you, God, for all that you've done? Or does it just kind of remind you of your humanity and it kind of seizes you with fear? I think either, any one of those items, any one of those options is possible for us today. I want to look at the resurrection story as recorded by Matthew's Gospel. So if you have your Bibles today, I'd love for you to turn to Matthew 28. If you have your bulletin insert, the Scripture is also on the very back of this insert. On the insert again today, we've been doing this throughout the Lent season as we've been preparing for Easter. We have some devotional thoughts for you throughout the week to contemplate and also prepare for our Sunday next week as well. But I encourage you to kind of engage in the Scriptures today as we look at this resurrection story and the power that we see there. We have this great betrayal scene and conviction. We have the beating of Christ, His death, and now His resurrection. And let's read just Matthew 28. I'll start in verse 1. After the Sabbath, which is on Saturday, okay, Saturday is Sabbath day for the Jewish tradition, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now, some of the other Gospels mention that they went to anoint Jesus, that they were taking spices. They were hoping that they could get in the tomb because they didn't have enough time to do that when He died before the Sabbath day. At the time, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and His clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of Him that they shook and became like dead men. Now, I don't know if they were playing dead, like they were like dead men, or if it was so much that they absolutely fainted or collapsed. Quite frankly, these are soldiers. Soldiers don't run away from a fight. But at the sight of this angelic host, at the sight of this angel, it was enough to make these manly men fall to their knees and not resist at all. This is God's army coming. This is God's angel coming and rolling back this stone. The angel said to the women, so now the women come onto the scene. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as He said. Come and see the place where He lay. Then go quickly and tell His disciples, He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him. Now I have told you." This angel had a job to do. The job was twofold. The job, first of all, was to break the seal that had been put around this stone that would keep Jesus in this tomb. You might remember part of the story was that some of the religious leaders were afraid that the disciples would come and steal Jesus' body and claim resurrection because Jesus had taught about this a little bit. Even the religious leaders of the day who were against Jesus was listening to what He was saying and understood that He was talking about the possibility of resurrection. So they sealed this tomb so that nobody naturally could get into it again. And they posted these guards there to make sure that nobody would breach that tomb. So when the angel comes and everybody, the guards are on the ground now like dead men, He rolls the stone away. Only the angel could accomplish this in such a short amount of time. To roll a stone away that had been sealed would take great effort. This angel comes and does it in a moment. And as the women approach and they see the stone rolled back and they see this amazing angel, He speaks to them with kind words. "I know what you're here to do, ladies. I'm aware that you are coming. I knew that you were coming, and I know that he whom you are looking for is not here. So what's the response of the ladies? What happens when all of a sudden they are confronted with this news that they are now to go and tell the boys? They've been given the great honor of going and taking back the story of resurrection to the insiders. And the ladies had always followed from a distance. They'd always been followers of Christ and listening to His words. But they were chosen to now go tell the 12, or now the 11. They were told to go back and tell the disciples that Christ is risen. They were given an amazing task. So in verse 8, the women hurried away from the tomb. They didn't waste any time. Afraid, yet filled with joy. We're going to stay on that phrase for a while today. They were afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples, when suddenly, verse 9, Jesus met them. Greetings, He says to you. I translate the original Greek as, what's up? It's this amazing word that just is kind of so common. And it's like, hey, what is up? They came to Him. They clasped His feet and worshipped Him. Now that might seem really strange to you. Why would you go, grab a hold of someone's foot? Dads, have you ever had a kid? Grab a hold of your feet. Isn't that one of the coolest feelings in the world? I used to think it was cool, and then it got really old really fast, right? That's kind of this moment of great love and embrace, and in Middle Eastern culture, the feet were so important that to do this was actually a sign of reverence and worship and awe. It was not uncommon at all for this to take place. So the women naturally respond and worship, and they grab His feet. Then Jesus says to them, do not be afraid. Now, do they look like they're afraid? They're hanging on to His feet. Jesus says, ladies, I know what you're thinking. I know that just a few moments ago you came to the reality that I'm no longer dead. I know this is brand new for you, and I know that you are afraid, yet filled with joy. And I'm telling you right now, do not be afraid. But I need you to go, and I need you to tell my brothers to go into Galilee, because there they will see me also. What a great story of Christ coming from the tomb. These women hearing this amazing story, responding in a way that I think would be common to you and I. Afraid, yet filled with great joy. The Gospel of Mark says that the women were trembling and bewildered. They were kind of without direction. They just not sure what to think. And then Jesus comes and reveals to them the reality that fear that they feel, that fear that is naturally within them, needs to go away, because right now is the time to be filled with joy. Now is the time to understand all of that God has done, and that it should well up within you such a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. Let's get rid of the fear. Fear and joy are both powerful mixtures of emotions. They're both very powerful in how we respond to them, as a matter of fact. You know, they produce certain reactions in us, to be quite honest with you. So let's look at just for a moment, what does fear produce in our life? When you experience something that gives you great fear, or you respond to it and you're a little scared, you're a little intimidated, several things could happen. I just thought of a few. Sometimes when you're face-to-face with fear, doubt has a way of settling into your spirit. Sometimes fear keeps you safe. You know, I'm afraid of doing daredevilish kind of things. I'm kind of afraid of jumping out of airplanes, even perfectly good ones. You know, even with a backpack, there's just something about that keeps me hanging on, right? That's kind of fear, and it kind of has a way of keeping you safe. But sometimes fear makes you weak because you're not able to look ahead, and you're just kind of weakened. It kind of has this weakening force, this kryptonite feeling on you. Sometimes fear is kind of tormenting. It brings out a kind of this nagging, kind of tormenting feeling. Sometimes it's binding to you and very restrictive. When you're in a relationship that is based on fear, it's very restrictive, and you're always afraid of making a mistake. Sometimes fear ushers in the response of pain. Sometimes that fear does bring pain to your life and anguish. Sometimes it even brings paranoia. Now, that's a big old psychological term, but how many of us get just a little bit nervous whenever we're thinking and contemplating about these kinds of spiritual things? Well, the opposite needs to be looked at today because of this powerful mixture of emotions. If we allow fear to take over our life, that's what we might find. But if we can look at the words of Christ and embrace the joy that He has to offer us and embrace the gratitude that comes from that joy, something else can take place. Instead of doubt, we can establish and experience great passion for Christ. Instead of safety and just kind of staying to your own and not taking any risks, that's exactly what happens. That gratitude and joy can often translate in us taking risks. It translates into us trying things because God is calling us to do it. Instead of weakness where fear rules, when joy and gratitude rules, we are strong. There is this inner strength that comes from us when we allow joy to rule. Instead of this tormenting feeling that we often feel under fear, we embrace peace. Peace can take over our life. We don't have to be stuck in that torment any longer. Instead of a binding, restrictive relationship, we can experience true freedom. When gratitude and thanksgiving and joy floods our life, all of a sudden, freedom is a part of our experience. Instead of pain and anguish, we can experience true happiness. Really, you can. It's no guarantee that life is going to get easy because easy doesn't translate into happy. But you can find true happiness when we embrace the joy that God has to offer us. And instead of paranoia, instead of always looking for someone who is against you or always afraid of building relationships or doing whatever God is calling you to do, you can have true security. You can experience true security in your life. Now, this is how I kind of view this today. When we consider the great mixture between fear and joy that these women were experiencing as they heard the news of Christ's resurrection, as they were afraid yet filled with joy, and so often we find ourselves that same emotion. When I think about the kingdom that we're building here on this earth, when I recognize when fear is in my life and that I think about what I'm doing with my life, and if I allow fear to come in, what I'm really allowing to rule me is control. You know, this is one of those moments where the ladies come to the tomb. They come to the tomb and they had a plan. You ever go somewhere and have a plan? This is what you're going to do. This is what I need to accomplish. Their plan was to anoint Jesus that day, and all of a sudden, everything got blown apart. Their plan was completely shot. Sometimes when fear is allowed to rule in our hearts, whether we're going to school or whether we're going to work, whether we're afraid we're going to lose our job, not get that promotion, or other people not thinking that I measure up with them, really what we're allowing to rule our life is our desire to control life. But joy, when we embrace God's joy, when we allow gratitude and thanksgiving of God's resurrection to rule our lives, all of a sudden trust begins to be our ruling factor. Not control. We don't need to control this world. We can't control this world. How many of us have come to a place where you think everything you do is to control, to keep everyone you know safe and all these things? We can't control anything. But we can trust the One. We can put our trust in One who can bring joy. So we can put our trust in the kingdom that has no end. We can put our trust in the kingdom that just begins at resurrection. This isn't the end of anybody's story. This is the beginning of the story. We can put our trust in the kingdom that has an open door and a lot of room for everybody to come in. We can put our trust in the kingdom that gives second chances to those who seek it. Resurrection. Resurrection. Easter resurrection brings joy and it drives out fear. It changes our lives. It sets things right. When we embrace resurrection, we embrace all the joy that God has to offer us. So, The question I have for us today as we contemplate whether or not we're living with joy or we're living under fear is, which kingdom are you building? A kingdom of control or a kingdom of trust? Are you willing to look at the power of this resurrection story and embrace it and allow your perspective on everyone around you to be changed? Or are you going to hold on tight to what you know? Are you interested in today that Philippians 2 confession of saying, at some point in my life, I need to come to grips with this Christ, because if I don't do it now, I'll be forced to do it later. Because I believe, friends, without a shadow of a doubt, there is one God. There is one way to Him, and it's by confessing in this empty tomb. It's confessing in the fact that this cross happened. It's confessing the fact that Christ lay lifeless inside this tomb. It's in the fact that we must believe that Jesus Christ paid your price and He paid my price, because I'm a sinner. And I got news for you. So are you. Are you comfortable with that? Now that can bring great fear, to become face to face with the fact that I needed Jesus to do that. I needed Jesus to go to that cross, because without Him I had no way of reconnecting with His Father, our Heavenly Father. I needed Christ to become that perfect sacrifice to die for me. And I want to be a man who is allowing the resurrection of Christ to impact me every day and to drive out the fear that can so easily grab a hold of my spirit, and to embrace the joy, to embrace the joy and the thanksgiving that it offers us. I don't know how many of you have done this week, but in my right-hand pocket I've carried a reminder of this joy. Last Sunday we made available for everyone who was here just to put a simple little nail in their pocket, not very sharp, but a reminder of all that Christ has done for us. Now this nail, what it represented last week was the sacrifice and the amazing pain that Jesus went for me, that He went to the cross for me. We showed to our kids this week little excerpts of the Passion story, rated R film, and you can, you know, have your own opinion about me doing that with an 8 and 11 year old. But I tell you this, I wanted my children to get a really good picture of what this nail really represents. And there were a lot of moments they both wanted to look away. There were moments I wanted to look away. The sacrifice of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus is painful. But on this day, when He comes out of the tomb, He is not thinking about that sacrifice anymore. He's filled with joy. I see a difference in Jesus' personality in resurrection. He's still man. His heart started beating again. His blood started flowing again. He got hungry again. He was alive, not just a spirit. He was alive, but there was a difference in this Jesus. Because now He realized He has paid the price for you. He has done what He has called to do. And now, He just got kicks out of coming into rooms and surprising His disciples. Like, whoo, here I am. And they'd turn around and be like, oh, you've got to stop doing that, Jesus. You're scaring us. And He's like all excited to have them go and do what He's commanded them to do. He believes that they will start this church that the gates of hell cannot contend with. In these imperfect men who ran from Him just 72 hours ago are now given the keys to joy. And that key will unlock so much in our lives if we'll just embrace that today. So the yoke of Christ, it's not heavy. The whole idea of following Christ, it's a process filled with this great joy. And I hope, as we come to this table now, that you will embrace the very essence of Christ with that kind of joy. We've set a table before you today. It's filled with crackers, and it's filled with grape juice. This special matzah bread has been prepared for moments just like this, where people will celebrate what was known as Passover. This was one element of the Passover feast. We've come to know it as communion in our tradition. And we take this bread and we've broken it into pieces. We've asked God's blessing on it. It was on the Thursday night of Jesus' life where He was celebrating Passover again with His friends that He broke the bread with them and He said, "This is My body." You have been celebrating Passover for hundreds of years as a Jewish community, but you've never fully understood what this bread was. This bread is My body, and it is broken for you. It has been pierced for you. It is being made available to you. And He shared this bread with His friends that night. He gave them all the opportunity to tear off a piece and to eat, to embrace Christ, to embrace His body, and to embrace His joy. Then as a part of the meal, they would take the cup. There were several cups as a part of this meal. And at a particular part of the meal, He began to pass another cup. He called it the cup of the new covenant. And it was filled with wine. And He took it and He began to share it with all of His brothers. He said, "This cup and its contents now represents My blood, which is about to be poured out for you. It is about to be shed for you so that your sins may be forgiven, so that you can experience true joy and forgiveness once and for all." Not an annual sacrifice, not an annual set of rituals, but that you can embrace joy and forgiveness and thanksgiving once and for all. After the meal was completed, He challenged His friends to do this in remembrance of Him. To eat this bread means you are doing this as a memorial of His life. Today we'll take this cracker, this piece of bread, and we'll dip it into the juice to just allow a little bit onto the cracker, and we'll place it in our mouth, and we'll be eating the bread, the body of Christ. We'll be having some of the juice, the blood of Christ, come into our life as a memorial for all that He's done, but also as a reminder of the joy that is available. You might come to this table a little freaked out. That's pretty common. If this isn't a part of your normal routine, you can have fear walking to this table. I understand that. See, it's common. The women who found an empty tomb, they were afraid yet filled with joy. I want to challenge us today to come to a table. We're actually going to come to several different locations throughout the gymnasium today and take a piece of bread as the body of Christ, and we're going to dip it into this cup as a symbol of God's blood. And I pray, it's my hope and desire, that as you come, there might be that little twinge of fear in you, and as you embrace the body and blood of Christ, that you'll hear His voice say, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And that joy will flood your spirit. And you can have a new outlook on what God is doing in your life, and you can embrace the essence of God in your that's being made available to you today, the power of the resurrected Christ. I've asked our church board who are here today to come and to serve us today. So as I pray, I'm going to invite our board to come. And what they're going to do is they're each going to receive a thing of bread and a cup of juice, and they're going to be stationed at different places throughout the gymnasium. And I just want to encourage you to come. Find one of them and embrace the joy that God has for you today. Let's pray. Lord God, I am struck by the resurrection story. The fact that there are so many things at play here. There is deep friendship and yet betrayal. There is fear. There is joy. There is death. And today we celebrate life. So today, God, as we receive these elements that You have blessed and brought before us today, I would ask, God, that these elements would become the very joy that You have for us. That as they don't transfigure into necessarily the body of Christ or the blood of Christ, but they represent this amazing memorial to us today of all that You've done. And I pray that as we receive it, as we take and we eat today, that we will be changed. And that we, like those women on the path in our story today, that our path might be altered, and that we won't be caught up in fear anymore, or we won't be scared of what You have laid out before us, but that we'll embrace the kingdom of God, the kingdom of joy, the kingdom of trust, the kingdom of gratitude, and that we'll embrace Your love, and that will swell deep within us. Father, this is Your meal. This is Your opportunity to speak to us, every one of us. Please do this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.